Welcome to Lawyer Business Advantage. This podcast is dedicated to helping attorneys earn more money, get better clients, and spend more time with family. I'm your host, Ale Yajnik, founder of Law Firm Success Group. Smart business guidance for small law firms begins in 3, 2, 1. And it's my pleasure to welcome to Lawyer Business Advantage, Eric Prose, founder of the law office of Eric Prose. Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. I'm really excited to have you on the show today. Your firm is growing and you have multiple areas of expertise. So before we get into some of the things that you're doing differently from other firms, tell us a little bit about your firm, your areas of practice.
Yeah, so I started my firm in end of 2016. So I'm going on about 8 years now of practice. I focus mostly on business and real estate transactions. So a little bit more detailed entity formation, LLCs, corporations, all type of entities, act as fractional general counsel to a lot of companies, and then handle the day-to-day contracts. On the real estate side, we set up funds, syndications. We also represent buyers in a lot of commercial real estate transactions, single tenant use, strip malls, things of that sort.
And how did you get into that area of law?
Yeah, so I actually started, like most attorneys, in insurance defense, and I was doing construction defect. So I kind of got into the real estate stuff kind of early. Real estate's always kind of been a passion, real estate and business, and I was trying to find a way for them to merge. And it's perfect with the entity formation, as that's needed for almost all real estate transactions. So once I kind of developed the experience of the litigation and got the sense of that, I broke off out of my own and focused on the transactional. So I took a lot of time to make sure I learned it. I shadowed under people during their formation process to learn. Worked for free, actually, a lot for a lot of attorneys to learn that process coming from litigation. But I knew it was a passion. I knew that's what I wanted. So I took the time and dedicated it to that.
Awesome. I love that. I love that you were, you know, put in the time, learn the craft, in some cases working for free just to make sure you knew the subject matter really well. That's terrific. And now it's been several years since you've had your own firm. How has that journey been for you?
I mean, like most law firm owners, I feel like it's been up and down, if I'm being completely honest, but I've enjoyed the process. It's a lonely process, as most business owners know, but to be able to continuously improve year over year and to look back and see what I've built has been quite satisfying.
Awesome. It is a lonely process. That's one of the things we find when we're talking with our clients, like the ones that are the sole owners of their law firms, is they just don't have people to bounce ideas off of. And when they're having a bad day, family is great, but family can only do so much. And the team in the office is great, but they can only do so much. It is definitely kind of a lonely road. And that's one of the things that we really enjoy when we have those conversations with our clients, when they've had a great win, help them celebrate, or when they're not having a great day, to help them get, you know, back on track and get refocused. So your firm now, tell us a little bit about the size of your firm, locations where you practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, I just changed the name of my law firm to just EJP Law. That was just effective at the end of 2023. So thank you. I wanted it to be a little bit more general instead of the law office aspect. So I have an office in Beverly Hills, California. I also have an office in San Diego, California, in the Little Italy area. So my firm was formed and got started in Beverly Hills in the LA area. So I have a ton of connections there. Most of my clients are there. And I knew San Diego was the end destination of where I wanted to be. So I've been taking this last year and a half to do the same things I did in LA, network, show up to different events, join different groups and things of that sort to expand the LA or the San Diego clientele and the San Diego network. We're doing the same type of work in both. LA is a lot more business formation, fractional general counsel work. San Diego is a lot more on the commercial real estate side of things. So it's a perfect mesh of the areas I like to practice.
Awesome. By the way, I actually went to school in San Diego. Really fond memories of it. I can't believe how much it's grown and the weather just continues to be phenomenal. So
when I first moved to California from the Detroit area, I got a job at a small firm and Little Italy was not what Little Italy is now. It was a couple little shops we went to for lunch and now it's high rises and luxury condos and things of that sort. And it's the spot to be for dinners and things. So it's quite amazing to see how much it grew in what, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And you've seen, you know, other law firms firsthand as well as, you know, your colleagues. There are some things that your firm maybe does a little bit differently and maybe a little bit better. So share with us a little bit about your approach to clients.
I want my client experience to be as frictionless as possible, meaning that from the time they're at my website, kind of going through to determine what kind of journey they want to take on this legal aspect, to calling our office, to scheduling, to intake, to the initial consult, everything. I want it seamless. So I've put in the time to develop a very detailed intake process. And sometimes people don't want to go through that, but it does filter out. It gives a great indication of the type of clientele that I want to work with. People that don't want to go through the process most likely aren't going to want to go through the process when I'm representing them either, I found out. So very detailed intake process to kind of weed out the type of clients I don't want. On top of that, I pride myself on giving updates before they're asked. Most attorneys are disciplined for non-communication or not providing updates. That's the number one bar complaint. So I have my updates laid out. I have automatic emails set up. So for example, if we're doing entity formation, I have drafted emails ready to go once each task is completed to provide the client an update. So they're not sitting there asking over and over again, trying to call and get updates. They're getting it without having to ask.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, those are the two things I believe that separate my firm from a lot of firms. I'm also part of the lawyerist community, and it's a lot of just kind of looking forward. I have respect for the old style of law, but things are changing and the clients want something different. So I want to be at the forefront of that.
And why is it that, or what happened for you to really focus on your intake and your client experience and to make that a real priority, to make that as seamless as possible?
Well, so I actually sat back and tallied how much time it took me to do an intake for one client, going back and forth in emails, trying to get a time scheduled, maybe taking that initial call to determine if it's a case I want, and then be like, okay, now we'll schedule the initial consult. So once I saw how much time I spend in a week on potential clients getting that intake process together, it was a no-brainer. So I saved probably about 10 hours a week the intake process, because I took about 2 to 3 hours to put the time in to go through every possible scenario. So that was it. I just didn't want to waste the time going back and forth with all this stuff.
So you save 10 hours a week, and also you get the clients you really want to work with. And mm-hmm. So once you flip that switch and you had the intake process running, tell us a little bit about how your clients changed for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot less having to ask the same questions over and over again. They get the intake form, or I give them the option. My assistant can walk them through the intake form if they don't want to do it themselves, or they can have it sent to them and take their time. The clientele has just seemed to be more open. It develops a little bit more of a rapport, seems like, from my assistant walking through and us having pointed questions at the outset to determine if it's a case we handle. And if it's a case we don't handle, if it's a case where I know I have somebody that can send it to, I'll give that person a call and be like, look, this is not a case we handle, unfortunately, based on what you've given, but here's some people you can talk to. So even the people that don't end up retaining me end up coming back down the line because they had a pleasurable experience at the intake process. So the clientele has greatly exceeded, I would say, the matter amount increased by probably about 15% or so on each client. And then just the reviews based even on clients we rejected has gone up too.
Yeah, look, attorney entrepreneurs, you know, if you've listened to the show before, how much of a priority I put on time. I think it's our most precious asset. And if you can invest, what did you say, Eric, like 3 hours or so?
I would say it was probably a good 2 to 3 hours.
Good 2 to 3 hours to get a savings of 10 hours per week, every week going forward. Oh my God, you have got to take that seriously.
And that's based on the number of calls I get. So just imagine if the volume's higher, how much time people are saving. And to be honest, I didn't want to sit down. No one really wants to sit down and lay out their intake process. But it was needed, and I'm glad I've done it.
It sounds so daunting. You know, I got to sit down and lay out my process, and I don't know where to start. And a big reason for that is that a lot of attorneys don't know what a process even looks like. And so they don't know that it's got a trigger and it's got the next steps. And that's something we teach our attorneys too, is what does the process look like, and let's map out your intake process and optimize it. Was there any practice management software or other tools that you found to be really helpful?
So I use Clio Manage and Clio Grow. Clio Grow has been great for the scheduled emails during the intake process. I think I have about 10 automated emails in there, and I'm working on getting my workflows that I have defined as well into Clio. I haven't quite done that. I have them laid out and they're easy to follow. I actually do an entire workflow and then send it to somebody that doesn't practice that area of law and be like, hey, if you had to pick this up and reference everything I have connected to it, how would it work? So just Clio at this point, which has been great. I haven't explored too much more on the workflow side of things, though.
Got it. Well, that's a great start. And Clio is so powerful. Most attorneys just scratch the surface on what it can do. So I'm glad you're really digging in and using it piece by piece. And I'm sure there's a lot more there that you can unpack. One of the things looked like, well, let me ask you, what are some of the priorities for your firm going forward?
Some priorities, you said?
Yeah, like, but if you had to pick one priority for the year for your firm, what would it be?
I'm in discussions to partner up with another individual. That is probably top priority. Outside of that is developing the remaining part of my workflow. So the real estate transactional portion, the syndication workflow, and the fund workflow. I really want to get those defined and worked up so I can pass them on to somebody else so I can focus on the business development and the face of the firm.
And I totally agree. If you're bringing on a partner, that is your number one priority. Tell us a little bit about how that became a priority for you.
Yeah. I've enjoyed working with people. I'm a team sports guy. I played baseball, hockey. I played all of that in the past. So I've always been around a team. As we said at the beginning, working by yourself is very lonely. Someone to bounce ideas off of. This individual has been introduced by a very close friend of mine. We kind of hit it off the bat. It just seems to make sense. We're both doing very similar numbers. We both have the same desires, the same plan, it seems like. Like I said, we're at preliminary stages, so we're working through it. But to see something, to build something bigger than myself with somebody else sounds very entertaining and very fun for me. I mean, I'd like to take on the challenge.
Yeah, the right partnership is, 1 + 1 = 3. And that's what we're trying to do. I don't want to get too much into it because I know it's really early stage for you. But have you had discussions or what, this situation aside, what would be sort of your dream situation when you're bringing a partner in terms of the responsibilities and roles that you would have and the responsibilities and roles that your partner would have?
I want my partner and I to both have the main duty of developing business. Does that mean we're going to step away completely from the legal work? I don't think that's realistic. I think we're always going to have to do some legal work, but I want about 75% of our time to devote it to the business development, those initial meetings, being with clients and potential clients. That's it. And then if the other person wants to do some more legal work, great. But I want both of us to do the business development. I think it takes two good people at business development to make a very successful firm. I've lasted this long on my own and I'm very happy about that, but I want to take it to the next level.
Yeah. At some point, that what's that saying? If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go as a team. And the field of law is really weird. It's the only field that I know of where they're expecting the attorney to be the business developer because you can't hire a dedicated business developer. The attorney has to do that. The attorney has to practice law. The attorney has to manage and run their team. I mean, it's a little crazy. Like no other business runs that way. So,
and you know what? That's unfortunate because they always say in law school, they didn't teach you how to run a law firm. However, I mean, running a law firm is a business. It's the same thing. Yeah, we do something different, but it's still a business. And unfortunately, that's where the legal community I feel is at. But I do feel it changing. I've met a lot of people that are focused on the business side of things now instead of just the law side. They're all great attorneys, but the focus on business is what intrigues me to connect with these people.
Well, it's great because it's never been easier to run a law firm with the tools, the software that's available, virtual assistants, the fractional work that you can bring on board. It is easier now than it was, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and it's going to continue to get easier to do that piece. The one thing that is really important for attorneys to do, though, is to get out there and build a book of business, because if they're not doing it, no one else is going to be able to do it for them, at least not yet. So that's I can see why you want to do that. And that makes sense. As far as your growth plans for the firm, you said you want to take it to the next level. How is it that you bring in clients today?
It's a lot of, I have a very good SEO guy. So right now I'm probably split 60-40 in cold calls and personal referrals, which I'm very happy about. 60-40 in favor of the cold calls, which I'm very happy about. I'm trying to build something that if I have to step away, business is still coming in. But 40% of it still comes from personal referrals. So out doing networking events, I work with a lot of commercial brokers and developers, introductions from them, and then former clients provide the best referrals. I probably get from those probably about 10 to 15 new clients a year based on just former clients referring them, which is great because I don't, there's not much that I have to convince people on to,
yeah.
you know, oh, I'm shopping around. No, you worked with this person. You did this. This is exactly what we want. Let's do it. So
exactly.
60-40 cold calls, personal referrals are the best clients I've gotten.
Super. And Eric, apart from, you know, bringing on hopefully a partner, what else are you looking forward to over the next, you know, year and a half with your firm?
Yeah, I'm really trying to break into the San Diego market a bit more. So I'm trying to expand my network down there. I spend majority of my time in San Diego now. Like I said, I got an office in the Little Italy portion of San Diego. So I'm trying to develop a network and a name in the business community and real estate community down there. There's a lot of amazing business owners, a lot of amazing businesses in San Diego, and I'd like to connect with them and see if I can work on that fractional general counsel aspect. I don't think company owners realize how affordable fractional general counsel can be because a lot of attorneys just give a set amount. You're paying that no matter what. I like to work with business owners. So right now I have a tiered fractional general counsel set up based on how many hours they want per month or how many hours they think per month. And during that, it's not just you sign up for this many hours and you don't hear from me. I do multiple check-ins during the month to make sure that all my clients are getting the value that they're paying for. So that's the real push this next 6 to 12 months, developing the fractional general counsel down in San Diego.
Really cool. And then the next thing that I guess comes up is, what do you do when you're out of time? But that's the conversation for another day. Eric, this has been awesome. If people want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, they can visit my website. I offer a couple free guides on there for them to check out their business health and real estate transactions. That's www.ejplawoffice.com. And they can also email me at eproos@ejplawoffice.com as well. I think those are the two best ways. I'm also on LinkedIn. Just search my name. It will pop up.
Thank you, Eric, for being on the show today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I did too.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Lawyer Business Advantage podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you tune in to listen. And I want to hear from you, so connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you think of this episode. And if you are a solo or an owner of a small law firm, and you're looking to earn more money, attract better clients, or reduce your stress, we would love to talk with you to see how we can help. Request your free law firm assessment by visiting lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. Again, that URL is lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. We look forward to talking with you soon. Thank you for listening. My name is Ale Yajnik. Until next time, remember, you can seize freedom. You can embrace happiness. You can build your perfect practice.